a while, but hitting you harder than a bunch of fists and feet flying in a Detroit Pistons-Minnesota Timberwolves scuffle. Big Dog Ball Talk, Matt Ecor, Jordan Flegel, giving you the takes that make you quake. Jordan, it's been a wild weekend. We are really in the home stretch of the NBA season here. Only about a week and a half more to go. I cannot wait to see how this all finishes out as we get into the play-in tournament. We will be having our Big Dog Ball Talk NBA Award special soon as well. So
who's the Big Dog of the year? Who will
that's what everyone's asking. And we will actually also give out the Big Dog of the month for March on time this time. Look for that on Friday's episode. But lots to talk about here. We got some Phoenix Suns talk. Kevin Durant injury out for the next week at least. Yikes. New York Knicks and their playoff chances without Jalen Brunson. Some NCAA talk and the return of trivia. What? Okay, here we go. It's been a little while, and I will be stepping into the hot seat here. Jordan's performed admirably so far this year. We'll see if I can keep up to date, keep up to pace with him. But Jordan, you just said it here. I wasn't going to bring it up, but you mentioned it. You said you have a dentist appointment. One of the worst possible things you can have happen in your life. I fucking hate it. I really hate the dentist. I've never really had many complications at the dentist, knock on wood. Last time I went, it was actually okay. I would even go as far as to say enjoyable. But even then, the second I get up out of that chair, once they say, okay, yeah, we'll see you in 9 months, I'm like, I'm going to dread this day 9 months from now all the way up until it happens.
Yeah, well, you just made me think. You have not seen Severance, is that correct, Matt?
No,
you started
no.
it yet. Well,
have okay. not.
For everyone
got,
knows,
like, White Lotus right now. I gotta start Reacher soon. I gotta see that Alan Richardson bod, man.
Yeah, yes, yeah. White Lotus, the Sam Rockwell monologue or whatever about. Again, spoiler alert. If anyone hasn't seen it, skip ahead. But. His sexual proclivities and ladyboys in Thailand, or not even ladyboys, I don't know, but you know, he's attracted to, you know,
Asian women. Mixed in.
Yeah, a couple he mixed in.
Wants to
but
be
then
one.
He wants to be one. That was just amazing. That's some White Lotus is just the best. But Severance, Matt. For everyone, will know what I mean when we talk about the dentist. Anyway, you will get into that show eventually. I am a little bit, I'm dreading it a little bit. Ever had to take a wisdom tooth out, Matt? Ever had to do that?
Yeah, do you have any wisdom been, teeth? They're gone. They took them
when
right
was
from
this?
Me, man. Years ago, still high school, man. In the See? Summer, I took a day off work. That was kind of nice. And I just thought it was funny because, like, you see all those videos, these people all fucking doped up. Oh, yeah. My God. They start saying all this crazy stuff. I woke up, I'm like, I feel fucking fine. Like, I'm a little tired, a little fatigued. Maybe it's because I smoked too much weed in high school. I don't know. It could have been a point there. But, yeah, I think that it's all played up.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going for my consultation. I've waited this long. I've got one wisdom tooth that's got to come out. So I'm going to go in. They're going to tell me how much it's going to fucking cost. So that'll be fun. And so it shouldn't be too bad tomorrow. The actual removal will be something I will dread, though, for sure.
Well, thoughts and prayers to Jordan Flegel as he goes under the knife in the next couple months. But thoughts and prayers also out there to everyone who suffered the wrath of Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart. A huge scuffle here in the NBA as far as scuffles go. You know, Jordan, you asked for it. They delivered. You wanted a little bit more grit, a little bit more tussle,
really
a little
Perfect
more intensity.
Timing.
And we got a good one there. Multiple ejections, both players and coaches, in that Minnesota versus Detroit game. In the end, the Timberwolves end up taking a blowout win in that one. Cade Cunningham still out as well. So, you know, that plays a bit of a factor. But, you know, let's just start with the scrap. Because, you know, the game is the game. Where we've seen lots of late postseason or late regular season games here.
Games don't matter anymore.
We know what it is. You know, Timberwolves, big win for them. Trying to, you know, get out of that play-in mix. Catch the Warriors there for six in the East or the Western Conference. But this mix-up, I thought was kind of funny. Because, you know, like I've seen some reports, people, oh, yeah, well, it was a hard foul to start it off. You know, the rookie Ron Holland on Naz Reid. I didn't think it was that fucking crazy. I feel like that foul happens all the time. And I know that, like, it was chippy. Like, there was a lot of words, you know, being exchanged and guys talking, like, up until that point. So it wasn't like this was, like, just from the foul. But it was really funny to be Naz Reid gets in his face and, like, Dante DiVincenzo is like a bona fide hothead. He's an Italian American, so you know that he's going to be in the middle there. He wants to get his blood pumping. For some reason, like the counteract to that is Isaiah Stewart. He's just itching. He's just looking for a fight. He is that guy that goes to the runs. And the second anyone fouls anyone, he's like, oh, you want to square up? You want to fucking go? He's that guy. He's the fighter. And for Detroit, this is kind of an awesome guy to have. Perfect personnel choice and fit for this culture. And, you know, it's nice to see. It's nice to see, you know, someone who can stand up. He's not overly dirty. You know, he's had a couple of suspect fouls. But in this one, it was really just a big pushing match. You know, you can't really see what was going on down there. I mean, those courtside fans on the baseline, they really got their money's worth, Jordan.
Great footage as well. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
They must have had some sweat dripping on him or something. But, yeah, you can't really see. Dante DiVincenzo's just kind of taking a seat, and he's kind of, like, just pushing around. Like, people were blowing it up a little bit. Like, yeah, it was a good scuffle. It was pretty intense. But, like, I'll say this again. When you watch other sports where, like, especially like hockey or, you know, even football, some of these ones, like where guys actually get like hit and hurt and, you know, are feeling it, when guys are just pushing each other around, like, you know, it really is like, this is not anything. Like, unless a punch is thrown, like I always say, like, the only guy in like modern NBA that really is about it was Serge Ibaka. Would actually throw fucking punches at guys. Yeah, choke you out. Like, that's like the only guy. And then, you know, it happened a little bit ago, you know, the Pacers had a scuffle with, I believe it was also the Timberwolves, was it not? Rudy Gobert foul on Nembhard.
Yeah.
And then James Johnson came out.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep.
I think that's how it went. Sounds right. And then, because everybody, once James Johnson rolls out, everybody just fucking bleeds off, which is hilarious. Because then you got all these casual fans, they're like, oh, everyone's acting like this guy is like, he kill you. It's like, he's a fucking undefeated MMA fighter. Yeah, he would kill you. He's like a black belt. He would 100% fuck you up.
That was legitimately my favorite part about having James Johnson on the Raptors. Because there would be sometimes, you know, people would go face to face. I remember, I don't know if it was the same game when James Johnson, I forget who he dunked on. I think it might have been Andre Drummond in Detroit.
Cocked that joint back and banged on him.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm just associating those two things or if it's a different game, but there was some scuffle. I think it was with Detroit, and it was Johnson
right after.
And Chuck Hayes were the guys like stepping up. And I was like, you know what? I feel great having those two guys on our team. This one, you know, even though you're right, this one wasn't really anything. I think it's the best one we've had this season. Like, I can't think of another one. Like I was saying the other week, it's been kind of quiet for this type of stuff. So I'm glad we're getting at least a little bit of it. Beef Stew is just so fucking funny. Like, I was just dying laughing when I was seeing that angle of the courtside fans, a few rows up, taking a photo. He looks like he's grabbing at Dante DiVincenzo's junk for some reason, just like again and again. He's just like using his arms. I don't even know what he's trying to do, but he's like,
Then can get his hands on.
And then when Naz Reid is on the floor, you think everyone's being cleared. He just dives on the floor for some reason, and everyone's like, what the fuck? And then Dante pushes him again. He wasn't even involved in the initial altercation. Like, it's just masterclass stuff. I love it. And then he's walking off pointing at the Detroit on his jersey. Like, he is, it's great. It's perfect that he's on Detroit. It's perfect now that, like, we're going to get playoff basketball with this fucking team. Like, I hope there's bound to be little scuffles, but I hope there's like a bunch. Like, if they play another hard-nosed team, like it was set up that they would maybe play the Knicks. I don't know how likely that is going to be now, but even like a team like Indiana, they do have some hotheads over there too.
Yeah, him and James Johnson square up
100%. And you know, to be fair to the initial thing that instigated this whole thing, like, Ron Holland also is not backing down from anyone. He's been chippy for most of the season. Like, he's part of that culture that this team presents, which is crazy. Like, as a young guy to already sort of have that. And I just loved it. Marcus Sasser, I think, was in there as well. He gets chippy. Yep. I just love that they're full of these relatively young guys who are just about it. And also, if you're going up against the Timberwolves, like, Naz Reid is a pretty scary dude, to be honest. Like, there's obviously bigger guys, stronger guys, but he's like beefy. And if he's staring down at you, especially Ron Holland as a rookie, it's, you know, good for him for not backing down. And then the thing I'm most surprised about, though, is that Rudy Gobert didn't catch a few strays in there. If I was a Pistons player or just, you know, any NBA player, because we know they all hate Rudy, I just would have made it look accidental, but just, you know, backhanded him, done something. So Draymond definitely punching the air. He's watching that. It's like, someone get fucking Rudy. Come on, get somebody. Yeah.
Well, I always think back to that that Warriors Timberwolves scuffle where Rudy Gobert is just trying to break it up, and Draymond comes up from behind like a fucking assassin and starts choking him out.
That's what I wanted.
In this one, you know, there hasn't been anything released yet, as far to my knowledge here. But for the game, Naz Reid and Dante DiVincenzo were ejected for the Timberwolves, and then Ron Holland, Marcus Sasser, and Isaiah Stewart, like we said, ejected for the Pistons. But also, head coach JB Bickerstaff of the Pistons.
Who's the other one?
Timberwolves assistant coach Pablo Prigioni. I didn't know he was assistant coach there. If no one knows, Pablo Prigioni was a real one back in New York, man. That was he was the GOAT. Yeah, nice 3-point stroke, underrated playmaker. He could probably come out there. He could give Timberwolves some minutes.
Was he the one? Oh, 100%. They need that extra playmaking. He really probably would be more valuable as a player at this point. He was the one who threw that crazy alley-oop that J.R. Smith caught backwards from basically under his legs. Yeah, he was awesome. He was awesome for a bit. And yeah, glad to see he's still mucking it up out there.
Yeah. I mean, he was built for the moment. But yeah, I was kind of surprised they threw the coaches out because, they were chirping each other. And, I think maybe it's just because they were in the scuffle trying to, move guys around a little bit more. But, I don't know. I at the end of the day, it's a bunch of grown men. You're trying to it's big bodies out there. You kind of need all the hands on deck.
You really do. We saw how many people it took to fucking stop Isaiah Stewart breaking tackles trying to get to LeBron. Yeah. I was reminded, I just went back to watch that video, how fucking hilarious that was. He trekked three different guys, people trying to stop them, assistants in the sweatsuits just flying out of the way. That was just amazing.
Westbrook ready, fighting Irish style.
LeBron was literally hiding behind two refs. He's like, don't let him come at me. Oh my god, just amazing.
Oh fuck yeah! And that was Isaiah Stewart's second year in the league. It was super early.
I don't think I knew who he was before that.
Oh man, and he's having an all right year. I mean, the stats aren't going to show you that, but yeah, he's solid off the bench for him. It is going to be interesting though. You know, the league already has suspended him once this year because he picked up too many flagrant fouls. Yep. So I'm not sure if this will lead to anything, but again, the Pistons have legitimate postseason, you know, aspirations in the East right now, and I think they've got a good chance of anybody in that kind of middle of the pack. If they do kind of go into the next couple rounds, if he can't smarten up here, clean it up a little bit, we might see a Draymond Green situation where he's out for a playoff game or two, you know, depending on how things shake out. So That I think is one thing the Pistons might need to be a little bit concerned about now they actually have legitimate reason to play into April. But overall, I do still think that he's kind of a last of a dying breed type of player. The basketball enforcer. No one's punching each other, no one's throwing clotheslines out there or anything. But it is a big bonus to have a guy out there that nobody else really wants to fuck with. Will just go 0 to 100 at any moment for you. I think it just breeds a lot of camaraderie. We had a guy like that back in the day that we knew if anything actually ever went down on the court, we just walk away and let him go and go crazy. RFD, man. That's always nice to have in your back pocket.
Oh, yeah. Made me feel way better. It reminds me, Vince Carter back in the day, Raptors, Charles Oakley was there as the vet the protector. That's why, in this situation, it's the first playoff moment for, Cade, who's this up-and-coming star. I want to see someone and I don't want anything to get out of hand. I don't want anyone to get hurt, but want someone to, give him a hard foul or clothesline him and something, and then just get Beef Stew to unleash and just go, go full protector on, Josh Hart or whoever it ends up being. Mm-hmm. And we get some, real playoff scuffles. That'll be great.
Well, we will keep our eyes open here for some more playoff beef out there in the NBA. Beef Stew. We've got some disappointing news, but this is not really, it's kind of become commonplace. It's not a surprise for the Phoenix Suns. Kevin Durant out for at least a week, coming into the last week and a half of the season. This is an ankle sprain, something that you know, I mean, everything lower body he is pretty much dealt with at this point in his career. You know, ankles are, you know, one of the first things to go in a player. You know, what however old you are, you're going to tear, you're going to roll, you're going to do a lot of stuff to your ankles, just the nature of the game. But yeah, if he's going to be out, you know, they in the game that he was injured in, they got absolutely fucking trounced by the Rockets. So it's like, again, a team that, you know, they would
148 points.
Yeah.
They let up.
Again, this defense is just fucking atrocious. And we were saying it, Bradley Beal also still off the court for the Suns. So you're down Devin Booker and, you know, the heap of vets that you've built around that no one can really figure out how to play together. It's bad times here for the Suns. And I feel like the last time we talked about them, we pretty much said it's over. If it wasn't over then, it's certainly over now. They're a game and a half back from the Sacramento Kings for the 10 seed. The 10 seed. Like, this team coming into the year, we both predicted, you know, has a chance to be top six in the West, go on maybe a dark horse run to the conference finals.
And I wasn't thinking that was that crazy.
No. I agree. I at the time, I did think that, you know, that we both didn't like that Bradley Beal deal, the contract and the fit. We liked the Tyus Jones pickup and some of these other moves they had. Like, it seemed like things were going to work out. But this has been, yeah, just an absolute dumpster fire of a season. Waste of a year of Devin Booker's career. Waste of, you know, the last few years in the twilight of Kevin Durant's career. And I really would be shocked if they can catch the Kings at this point. Like, I mean, the Kings are doing everything in their power to keep them there. You know, 3-7 in their last 10. They're in a bit of a dogfight here at the Pacers as we're recording this on Monday night. But yeah, I just don't see them doing it. You know, with just Devin Booker there, it's going to be an uphill battle. They've got the Bucks, the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Warriors in the next week. Like,
nope.
And after that, let's say that Kevin Durant is back. They've got the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Kings. Yeah. Like, this is a fucking, like, at the down the stretch of the season, you're either playing top three teams or teams playing for playoff spots. Like, they don't have a meaningless game on the schedule except for that Spurs game. So I honestly think out of all these games, you have one fucking win. You're done. Like, the season's over.
Oh, 100%. And you should not even consider, I don't think, trying to bring Kevin Durant back. I mean, we've seen what happens when he kind of, I mean, and the example I'm talking about is the 2019 finals. Like, that was years ago at this point when he kind of came back, probably, you know, I think most people would agree now sooner than he should have, which is what led to that, you know, Achilles tear. So, you know, not saying
it's fucking quarter basketball in.
Yeah.
Not even.
I'm not saying it's anything, you know, approaching that level now or there's that danger, but like, it's the same type of thing. Like, just don't risk it, especially with a guy who's 36. If he's dealing with something and he's going to be out a week, just shut him down. I mean, again, you're not going to go anywhere. Ultimately, if the Suns, the best case scenario, like literally the best case scenario now, is a first round matchup with the Thunder. If you somehow make it to the bottom half of the play in, somehow win two games, you're in the eighth seed, for God's sake. Like, it's just, it's not worth it. Even if you're saying to yourself, well, this might be our last chance even to play with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker at the same time, because we're going to trade him in the offseason. Still, why would you risk that? What if he gets, something happens again, he re-aggravates something in this stupid push to make the back half of the play-in, and then he's injured again for God knows how long, and you can't even trade him. Like, the most prudent thing to do is to fully shut him down. Shut Bradley Beal down as well, for God's sake. Like, don't even bother. Like, they're, to me, in the exact same situation. Obviously, not quite, because they don't control their draft picks, but this is like Sixers West. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. There's no fucking point anymore. Trying to win at this point, let alone bring your best players back when they're kind of dealing with injuries, is just stupid. So just shut it down, close it out. You can reevaluate things, you know, lick your wounds in the offseason. You're going to have to trade one of these three guys. It's not going to be Bradley Beal because he's got a no trade clause. I think most people would agree you're probably going to trade the 36-year-old guy rather than Devin Booker, who you've drafted and has, you know, made it known that he'd be happy to stay there his whole career. I don't know how long that's going to stay true with, you know, you can only put up with so much shit, but
Sheba ownership, like it's not Nico levels, but it's bad.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you're gonna have to trade KD. I think that's like predetermined already. So like, just look ahead to that. Don't worry about this season anymore. It is an unmitigated failure, you know, top to bottom. And, you know, it sucks, but that's just the way it is. I mean, I picked the Sixers to go to the finals. They're it's clearly not working out for them.
Well, they're officially out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're done. And the Suns, like, it would just, I think it'd be better for everyone, including them, if they just accepted that as well. Just give up.
Yeah, I like, as we're talking about this, like, in my head, if I'm running the Suns, first thing I do in the offseason is you call Bradley Beal in, you're doing exit interviews, whatever, end of season, and you just say, listen, this is not fucking working. You are obviously pissed off with the whole situation. We are pissed off the whole situation. What team do you want to play for?
Yep.
And I will trade you to that team. I don't give a fuck what we get at this point. Just get him off the team, because he is like, you would think having this like former all-star, you know, bucket getter guy would help you. It's not. Like, I at this point, like, maybe this is a little extreme, but like, take one fucking future first round pick, a protected first round pick and some seconds. Like, at this point,
I think they'd be happy to do that. Except I think other teams, even if there's a team that he wanted to play for, you might have to attach a pick going the other way because his contract's so bad. I mean, it's a crazy situation. But yeah, I agree. You got to get him out of there.
Well, it's just for anything. Like, at this point, like, you can't. You have to cut your losses. Whatever, and you even then, I would trade Beal, and I would still trade Kevin Durant. Like, I think now you're bad. You were bad trying to be good. You may as well just be bad to be bad. Go through a rebuilding season or two. Like, Devin Booker's still young enough that he can keep playing. He can build. Like, I don't think you can have a long rebuild. You can't have like a Pistons or Wizards.
It'll have to be like a retool almost.
Yes. But like, you can go with like a couple seasons of missing the playoffs, and then you that third year, you know, you get back into it. You know, I think they can make it work. But yeah, you've got to pretty much liquidate every asset you can, other than Devin Booker, because no one else is showing any reason that they need to stay there. Like, a guy like Tyus Jones, like, he was a good fit on paper and he had an okay season, but like, is he really going to be a difference maker? Not really. I mean, you bring in Nick Richards, very one-dimensional. I like him as a player. He's got a lot of energy, good rim protector. He can get some boards. You know, he's not a bad finisher, but like, he still is so limited offensively, and he's not really the biggest body on the court either. Like, he has to make up for it a lot with his vert. Like, it's just, he's not the perfect starting center either. Like, I mean, maybe a little bit better than fucking Nurkic, but that's not saying much. It's just as a whole, like, they just have no direction right now. And if they don't fire sale it in the offseason, then we can expect to be having this exact same conversation this time next year.
Yeah, 100%. And like, the crazy thing is, though, like, this team is so bad based on their talent. I could see a situation where if you do get like a few serviceable role players for Kevin Durant, which I think you probably still can squeeze out of someone. You can talk another team into Kevin Durant. For Bradley Beal, like, we'll see what the market is for him over the summer. Again, it's all has to go through him and with the no trade clause, but maybe you can talk a team into him as well, like giving up assets they don't really care about. Mm-hmm. I could see like whatever you get for that. And if you have like a fully healthy season of Devin Booker and maybe, you know, you get more financial flexibility, God forbid you actually sign, a decent free agent, over the summer as well. Like, I could see a pretty quick path to them being a decent team again, like at least a 500 team, better than what they are right now. Like, that's how much they've underperformed. It's not like they're like in the seventh seed right now. And like, oh, if you trade these guys away, they're really going to crater. They're already at rock bottom. Like, there's not even anything left to lose at this point. Like, you can only even get better. Like, I really think it's so much like less than the sum of their parts that if they just get like the toxicity out of this team, I can actually see a road to them being pretty decent pretty quickly. But they've got to cut their losses here, get rid of these Durant and Beal if you can, and just move on. It's just one of the craziest, most disappointing situations in the NBA. Nothing worked out for them, but we knew going in that there was going to be a team in this situation with how crowded the West was, with how many teams had these expectations. Like, maybe I didn't expect it to be quite this bad, but there was going to be a team who expected to be in the playoffs and was in this like 11 range with very little room to even make it into the play-in. It happens to be Phoenix. Surprise, surprise, the team that made a trade for a third $50 million guy with a no trade clause who hadn't actually been good in like 3 years, a 36-year-old, and then another guy all three of them who have injury problems, and you have no flexibility outside of that, like, surprise, surprise. We've been ringing the alarm bell for like over a year. You know, we all saw this coming, but even saying that, I didn't think it would be quite this bad. So, you know, kudos to them, I guess.
And it's still crazy that they are worse than the Dallas Mavericks, who pretty much played the last month and a half without a single starter that they started the year with. You know, even just counting Luka and AD as interchangeable, like, it's just fucking insane to me how bad they had to be to let them catch them. But really, even then, they were kind of just jockeying the whole time. Yeah, it's insane.
Even the Trailblazers could even technically, I think, put them out of their misery if they just rattle off a bunch of wins and the Suns lose every game. They just might drop to 12th, and then, you know, they'll automatically be out of the conversation here. But that's possible too.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the Western Conference play-in. You know, it's not over till it's over. Maybe the Suns can figure something out. Devin Booker can go crazy. But I think time of death has already gone through here. But moving on, talking about another team that is actually on the positive side of the playoff bracket. It's the New York Knicks. They've been pretty hot as of late. Back-to-back wins here. A nice comeback there against the Trailblazers in their last matchup there Sunday night. But without Derek Brunson's a fucking UFC fighter. He used to be a UFC fighter. Very, very bad chin. But Jalen Brunson, hoping to be back before the postseason. But, I wouldn't guarantee that. I don't know how much the Knicks are going to want to rush, you know, their franchise guy back, especially when the team is still performing well. They're pretty much firmly in that, third place spot in the Eastern Conference. So, it looks like whoever finishes the bottom there, probably Milwaukee. I think it's going to be a Knicks versus, Giannis and a bunch of bums. So it's going to be interesting. But what do you think the Knicks playoff chances look like right now? Let's say they play the two or three games of the first round without Brunson in the lineup, because that is still a possibility. Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby have really stepped up in his absence. But, I want to get your take on that, because this gap at point guard, because, you know, they've also had a lot of other injuries at that spot. Miles McBride's been hurt. Campaign has been hurt. You know, we've been seeing a lot of Tyler Kolek on the court here for the Knicks. So I'm wondering, what do you think? Do you think they got enough point guard depth to make it through a couple games here?
Well, Matt, someone finally heard our prayers. Tibbs finally heard our prayers. Who's got the start, at least in this last game against the Blazers. DeLon Wright played fucking how many minutes did he play? 35 minutes, the Tibbs special. I don't remember the last time he would have played, that many minutes. He only had 7 points, but he was a +8. And our guy that we've been begging someone to play more, I think, is in the right spot given all those injuries you just mentioned. I'm really not worried about the Knicks from, you know, the perspective of just them being without Brunson, as you say, for some of the first round, whatever. Like, I'm kind of more worried big picture about the Knicks, even when they're fully healthy, like getting to the finals. Like, I think there's still some limitations that I think have been well sort of documented all this year. And going back to when Brunson was playing, their starters are still being played way too many minutes for them to be fresh in the playoffs. I still believe, like I've said from the very beginning, that there's too much pressure on Brunson to create down the stretch of every single close game. Like that was the biggest thing they lost when they lost DiVincenzo last year. I still think those problems all exist, but in terms of them as the three seed, winning a first round matchup, I don't see a sort of death scenario there where they're in any sort of real trouble. I think there's enough of a defensive foundation, on the wings with Bridges and Anunoby. I know they've had their struggles on that end this year, but they do have Mitchell Robinson back playing. He's sort of slowly ramping back up. I don't know at one point or if ever he'll sort of look in tip top condition, but he's at least another big body. Offensively, like, at least you've had Brunson out, but like you said, Bridges has been playing like crazy, like some of the best sort of offensive, at least in terms of shot creation basketball that we've seen from him in a long time. And OG as well, it looks like he's peaking at the right time on the offensive end. And it's a really good sign that with their main lead sort of creator out, those guys can still find their points. They can still, get to the rim, they're hitting their shots. So ideally for the Knicks, you bring Brunson back in whenever that is. And then you still have sort of this confidence instilled in Bridges and Anunoby to, you know, attack a closeout or go and sort of do more dynamic things that maybe they wouldn't have been so comfortable doing if Brunson was there the whole time. So I'm not too worried about it. I think it can all work out for them. But again, the big picture, sort of long run trajectory of the Knicks, I still don't think they're at that Cleveland or Boston level. Whereas, you know, at the beginning of the season, I thought, you know, maybe we could see if they were. I still think they've got some limitations, but yeah, I don't think they're in any real trouble just yet. But, you know, that could change if Brunson comes back and doesn't look like himself, or he keeps getting pushed back, he re-aggravates something. Mm-hmm. But again, like, he's been playing, most of this starting five has been playing basically the most minutes per game in the NBA all season. Yep.
I think they're all in the top 10.
Yeah, so like, at what point are you going to say that that's maybe a little bit of a correlation? I know that they're technically or they say they're all fine with it. They, you know, this is just the culture of the Knicks. We play hard. We play every night, whatever. But, you know, if they have guys through the second round of the playoffs again that start breaking down, when are we going to start actually going to Tibbs and saying, look, you've got to fucking play some of these bench guys more during the regular season? We actually have a chance here in the playoffs. So that's yet to be seen as well.
Well, it's, again, I've said it multiple times and I'll keep screaming it from the rooftops that Tibbs does run guys into the ground, and he that's does. Not a secret. We've seen it at every single place that he's ever coached. Like, it's, yep. It just doesn't last. So I'm always going to be skeptical on it, but I'll say two things. One, Karl Anthony Towns is awesome. Not a great game in their last one, but, you know, without Brunson there, I think that's kind of, I think, one of the bigger incentives. Obviously, a totally different style of play, different position and everything. But, you know, if you don't have Brunson in the first round, you still do have a legitimate first option scorer that can go out there. You can get an ISO on the block for him, and he can work down low. He can stretch the court. Obviously, one of the best big man 3-point shooters we've ever seen. So I think offensively, they should still, you know, be solid. It does suck not having, you know, the ball handler that can go out there and just create his own shot, because they really don't have that without him. Like, Deuce McBride, you know, he likes to fancy himself that. Obviously, Cameron Payne definitely thinks that, but yes. Neither one of them are quite at that level, obviously, of a Jalen Brunson. But, you know, it's Mikal Bridges. He's shown some flashes, obviously, in Brooklyn. You know, he had some decent games, but that was also, you know, he was the only guy able to take shots. Yeah. OG has been awesome in scoring. I love OG. I'm going to say this right now. We know we got some New York listener fans out there. please do not get sucked into the belief that OG Anunoby can be a consistent 20 plus per game point scorer.
Yep.
We as Raptors fans, we fell into this trap ourselves. We all believed it. We thought maybe, you know, when he was like 24, 25, he had a couple games there. He's averaging 20 plus, just like he's doing right now. I thought, oh, shit. He could be the number one guy. He could be the future. Even when we had Scottie Barnes,
number two guy,
it just looked like a reliable scorer.
Yep.
He goes in flashes, goes in spurts in the playoffs. Keep him as the 3-and-D guy. You do not want him jacking up any more than like 10 shots in a game.
And you don't want him trying to dribble at the end of a close game. The worst version of Jaylen Brown, but all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he, again, awesome shooter, insane athlete. I really don't think that there's any wing in the NBA that has as many standing dunks in the paint. If they recorded that, he just goes up. Like, the bunnies are unbelievable. I think they have a great core there. And again, like, this potential, you know, matchup with Milwaukee, because again, that does look like it's probably gonna be the likely one. It really just comes down to like the defense, and they've still got an awesome defense. Jalen Brunson is their worst defender in that starting five. So it's not really
Maybe Cat, but yeah.
I don't know. Cat's gotten better. He's gotten better.
Yeah, and he's at least big.
Neither of them are good. Neither of them are good.
True. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, Giannis would, you know, get his, but I think that the rest of them would get theirs a lot more than him. So I still think that, you know, without Brunson, they could probably squeak out that first round win. But yeah, once you get into that next round, you're playing Boston or Cleveland.
Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah, that's going to be real tough, you know, for very different reasons. Obviously, both teams play very differently. I think the Knicks, though, like, they built this entire roster to compete against the Celtics. So I think if they had their choice, and that's what's lined up right now, a second matchup,
I was
second
gonna say,
matchup with the Celtics, is pretty much locked up.
Because I don't think, the Celtics can't catch Cleveland at this point, or it's unlikely. Like, I don't
think
that's happening.
I think I think that the Celtics would have to win out, and the Cavs would have to pretty much lose almost every game. They're 4.5 games back.
The Cavs clearly want the one. Like the Cavs are holding on to it. So yeah, exactly. That's a second round that's locked in. Celtics Knicks. I don't give the Knicks a chance at all, to be honest.
Yeah, again, when the Celtics want to turn it on, they are the best team in the league. Porzingis looks healthy now. You have him at the five to match up with Cat. They're pretty much the same type of player, but Porzingis is a much better defender.
To be clear, I'm excited as hell to watch that series, but and it might be close,
I think the Knicks could at least take two games off. Sure, but I could very much, I think it would be more likely that the Celtics beat them in like five in a pretty dominant fashion than it goes to seven.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, that's where I'm at with the Knicks.
Even with Brunson. Because
100%.
You go into that playoff torture chamber of Drew Holiday and Derek White.
Yeah, good luck.
You get past one of them, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, you're fucked. It's one of the craziest teams we've ever seen assembled, and it's kind of like those LeBron Cavs teams after a couple of years, or even that last couple of years of the Heat, they don't finish the number one seed, and people are like, oh, yeah, regular season, and then it's like, okay, and then they actually start trying, and it's a totally different animal. So going to be interesting to keep an eye on the Knicks. And Jalen Brunson and his overall health, because obviously we just want to see him play playoff basketball. He was electric last year, and we'd like to see a couple more big performances out of him. Moving on, let's talk about NCAA. We them young and dangerous. Final Four, Jordan, the chalkiest, chalky
boo,
bracket
boo.
We've ever seen since 2008. The second time ever that the men's Final Four is all number one seeds. The last time, I did say it was an iconic one, Jordan. Psycho T and UNC, Mario Chalmers, Kansas. Was it Jay Wright was the coach of that team? Who was it?
Oh, I can't. Bill Self still back then?
Yeah, Bill Self. Sorry. Yeah, Jay Wright. Yeah, Bill Self, definitely Bill Self. And then Memphis and D Rose, and I believe it was Calipari,
I think. Yeah.
Yep. And then the last one was the UCLA, Westbrook, and Kevin Love. That's an awesome Final Four. And, maybe we'll see in 5-10 years from now. Maybe this Final Four, we've got some good players on all four teams. But it's going to be an interesting one. For anyone who doesn't know the number one seeds, we got Florida, we got Duke, we got Houston, and we got Auburn. Crazy. I was looking at the Auburn roster. It's like they're starting five. The youngest guy is 22 years old.
Yeah.
Just a college basketball lineup. None of these guys have any future.
Even Jani Broom, he's great. Yeah. I know finalist for player of the year, whatever. But yeah, it's just not going to translate. Not athletic enough.
Drew Timmy is lighting it up.
That's very true. Yeah. Yeah. Shout him out.
But it's the Nets. But yeah, Jordan, I mean, I had three of these one seeds in my Final Four. The AT Gonzaga beating the Houston Cougars didn't end up happening. But I'll let you give your spiel and your take on it. I'll say this. I actually am kind of excited by this because you never see the best of the best. Yes, I love an underdog story, and I want to get that kind of excitement. But these are the four best teams. These have pretty much, for the entire basketball season, been the top teams in college basketball. And we get to see them square off in a best-on-best. All the teams are pretty much at full strength. Broome has kind of had a couple little knick-knack injuries throughout
the
tournament. Yeah, he'll play. I don't think he's going to sit this one out. I mean, Bruce Pearl's always going to get those guys motivated and wanted to run through the wall. So I'm really interested to see because, again, we're going to see who's the best team. It's not going to be any asterisks. It's not going to be like UConn winning when it's like the 8 seed and people are freaking out. We're going to see who the best team in the nation is. And, I mean, that part of it's awesome. I mean, for anyone out there who likes college basketball stats, like KenPom, these four teams are in the top 10 rated teams ever in the KenPom system. So it's these aren't just good teams right now. They are some of the best college basketball teams we've seen in a very long time. So I am excited to see it. Do I wish that we saw some more upsets, some more buzzer beaters, some more excitement, some actual madness in March? Yes, 100%. But I do think that we have the potential to have some really awesome games down the stretch here.
Yeah, I'm hoping, and the Elite Eight games were really good as well for the most part. I mean, I know Houston. Mm-hmm. Who did Houston run out of the gym? Who was that? Oh, Tennessee. They just destroyed them.
15 fucking points in the first half. Also, switch to fucking quarters. Stop this. I know.
So strange. I've never understood it. But yeah, like the the Texas Tech Florida game, that was awesome. Walter Clayton or whatever, and Hauk, huge shots there down the stretch, like incredible. Like the way Clayton was like probing and then pulling out again to three and hitting these like off balance things. It reminded me of Trey Burke in that Michigan run when he was just pulling up from deep, like, you know, a sort of shorter guy as well, who was just sort of an assassin from out there off the dribble. It was just, incredible stuff from him. Duke obviously has looked pretty dominant the whole way through as well. Like, they haven't really been tested yet.
I was going to say, no one's even, like, Alabama is a good fucking team.
Oh, my
they
God.
Are,
yeah.
Like, they got smacked. Like, Arizona put up a bit of a fight, but they still let up 100 fucking points. Yeah. Nobody has even given them a run yet.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Auburn is a great team. Again, I kind of backed them last year and got burned a little bit. I had them going pretty far, I think, to the Final Four. Should have believed in them more this year. Obviously, I had Michigan State beating them. That was a close game. Again, if Michigan State had just played normal basketball, hit some shots in the first, 10 minutes of the game instead of missing absolutely everything, I think they would have had a shot because they played pretty well down the stretch. But, Auburn's a great team. Shout them out as well. I agree with you that it's exciting to see this basically for the first time. Like, I wasn't really paying attention in 2008. How old was I? I forget, 11 or whatever. So this is the first time truly that, we're going to see the best of the best. The committee really got it right here. And again, I hope we get games that go down to the wire. I have a feeling that they will, because these teams have a lot of pride and they're just so good. And like a team like Florida has shown, they can come back even when they look down and out, towards the end of a game. So yeah, I'm super excited. Hope we get some buzzer beaters or at least some big shots at the end of close games here. And I will continue to root against Duke. That's not changing.
Well, I'm sticking with my original prediction coming into the tournament. I got Duke over Florida in the finals. Jordan, I mean, your bracket's completely fucking busted and destroyed. What is your finals prediction?
Well, I'm sticking with Duke to get there. I'll root for them. I'm going to root against them, but I need to be realistic here at least slightly. Mm-hmm. What's the matchup on the other side? Sorry.
It's Duke and Houston, and then Auburn, Houston. Florida.
I think Auburn, Florida is going to be I think that's really tough to predict, because I do give Auburn a lot of, right away, I'm like, I think Florida has more shot making and length and sort of depth and defense to sort of win that game. But Auburn, I've just been so impressed with how they fight and can sort of, I don't know, just get through any situation and sort of match the level of other teams. So I think it's going to be really close. But I don't know. Florida just looks pretty unbeatable to me. That comeback against Texas Tech. So I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to back Tyler Bristro, one of our loyal listeners from the beginning, who had Florida. Not happy about it, as you say, my bracket's, in the garbage can, but yeah, I'll go Florida over Duke.
All right. Florida and Duke, it's going to be your national championship game. We're still going to talk to you guys, before, the Final Four, which is taking place on, Saturday. So, be on the lookout for Big Red Ball Talk on Friday/Saturday morning. We'll see. Be on the lookout.
They're used to it.
Before we sign off though, we got some trivia. Hey. Everyone loves trivia. Everyone loves basketball trivia. Jordan is going to test my knowledge. Let's hope that I'm awake enough. Let's hope that I'm ready
Wake up.
To put on a show for everybody. Jordan, I don't know if there's a theme to this or if you just got some stumpers here for me, but I'll leave the floor to you, my friend.
Okay. Well, I've got four questions for you today. And the reason I went with four instead of the usual five is because the theme, throughout is the theme is you're going to have chances to sort of run off lists here. None of these are like one answer questions. So you're going to have, a few shots. I don't know how the point system is going to work, but as always, Alex keeps all the records and sort of keeps
Big Dog Ball Talk tally. He checks it after.
Yep,
he has to double check the math.
We'll put it on the Big Dog Ball Talk website. We should probably get a website.
Yes.
Alex, make a website. And they're all sort of related to the topics we touched on today here. So, Matt, can you tell me who and I'll give you guesses each one on this list, who the top five leaders this season in technical fouls up to this point are? And Bonus points if you want to sort of guess how many they are, but that doesn't really matter.
Interesting. Just, and then we're talking NBA.
NBA, yeah.
Okay. Top five. It has to be Isaiah Stewart. He's got to be up there.
Yeah, he is in third. With
third, okay.
I'll give you 15. So I'll give you the number 15? And then you can...
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Third with 15.
I think Anthony Edwards got suspended this year for having so many techs, so I'm going to throw Edwards out there.
Number one, 18.
Number one, that's fucking crazy. Luka would probably be up there, but I don't think he's played enough this season, but like he's always running his mouth. Draymond's got to be up there. He's always in there.
Draymond, I'll just say this for now, tied for fifth with 12. Okay. So you're three for three right now.
So we got Draymond. We got Beef Stew. We got Edwards. We need the two and the four now. And I guess there's technically another five out there. Who are some real hotheads out there? Rudy Gobert is always in scuffles. He's always doing shit, but I don't feel like he gets a lot of techs. I don't know if I want to waste that guess on him because I really don't think it's him. I would think it would be someone on like the Knicks. Like they've always kind of got guys who are getting active.
There's a guy you're a pretty obvious guy. I feel like you're overlooking. I don't want to give you a hint here, but.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking just through the list of the tier. Like, is Jimmy Butler in there?
Nope. Or is he, I feel like he probably, he probably would have been closer up here if he played more.
Pretty obvious. Like, Chris Paul always gets a lot, but I don't feel like I've seen him get that many this year. Again, I could be wrong, but he's always good to rack him up. Let me throw Chris Paul out there.
Nope.
No?
I'll give you one more.
Yeah, I got one more guess. Yeah. Part of me wants to say like a Josh Hart or something, but I don't think so. I don't think that he gets it in there that much. Joel Embiid would be a pick if he actually stayed on the court. Yeah. LaMelo Ball, I kind of want to guess just because he's always bitching and yelling and flopping and throwing himself around. Oh, Dylan Brooks.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, number two. Yeah. 17.
Okay. So who did I miss? Is that last five?
Well, first of all, four.
I guess. I didn't get the four, yeah.
The four. This is kind of surprising, but also not. Trae Young with 14. Only one less than Beef Stew. He gets the more like complaining technicals, obviously. Yeah.
And that's what I was kind of trying to think, but I feel like there's so many guys, like I was like to get like up double digits and bitching. Like that you really suck.
I know. It's crazy. But there's actually a three-way tie for number five, all with 12. Really? Draymond was one. Jason Tatum and KCP. I don't know how KCP got so many fucking texts. He's got like more texts than three-point makes this year, basically. Yeah, Jason Tatum, he's sneaky up there with the complaining as well. But Ant, crazy. Dylan Brooks, Beef Stew, Trae Young, Tatum, Draymond, KCP. So there you go.
That's crazy that KCP's up there. Like all those other guys are like, Beef Stew at least is just fucking crazy. And that's kind of his role to do that stuff. The rest of those guys are like all-star players. And then you got KCP in there who has a horrible contract. He's played like shit and his team's not good. Like this is just that's a bad look.
I know. It's ridiculous. All right, here, moving on to question two. Kevin Durant themed. I wanted to go with one because he is 36. Got to remind everyone because I feel like since LeBron's fucking 40, everyone forgets that 36 is you're basically out of the league. Like if you're gonna play till you're 37, that's very rare. And he's approaching
especially at a high level.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, he's averaging 26.6 points per game this year, which is pretty insane. Spoiler alert, that's the most ever by a 36-year-old.
Really? Okay.
And that's minimum 57 games played in a season. I don't know why StatMuse put that as the sort of decider, but that's technically what it is. And that's important just for when you're thinking about it for this question. But after him, who are the next three in their age 36 seasons to have the most points per game? And I'll get this one out of the way. LeBron didn't meet the criteria. I don't want to make it unfair. In his age 36 season. Sorry?
Was that the groin injury when he was?
I think so.
First year at the
Lakers?
Well,
it's 2021. It was the year after the championship. Oh, okay. And it was 42 games, I believe it was, that he played. So he didn't make, and I don't know if that was impacted maybe by COVID, but no, 2020 was the COVID year. So
I don't know. I'm trying to remember if they I don't think that season was shortened, but maybe it was. I don't know. But the because yeah, the I was thinking
one, so.
I was thinking like 2019. I guess that was when he first got to the Lakers, and he had the groin missed injury, time, and then that was like the baby Lakers. That was like their last hurrah: Lonzo and Larry Nance and Josh Hart, like all those guys.
Well, because that was
off in that package for AD.
Yeah, because 2021 was the year that the Lakers lost to the Suns. The Suns obviously get to the finals. And I think LeBron was coming back from injury, like, in that series. Like, I seem to remember he had missed time. Yeah. And then he was coming back, and everyone thought they'd win that series, but they didn't. But, yeah, he didn't meet the criteria. That would have been a super obvious guess. And I think he was technically in second place. I don't have the numbers now pulled up, but I think he would have been second. But he does not meet the criteria. So, after KD, 26.6 points per game. The players to average the most in their age 36 season.
Okay,
and this for the
is just
three
all
after
time.
Him all time.
Because so again, there's some older guys that like right away. I'm thinking Wilt. I'm thinking Kareem. Like some of the best scorers ever. And they like Wilt. I feel I'm pretty sure he retired way younger than that. But Kareem played till he was like 40. Is Kareem on there?
Kareem's number three after him, so okay, after KD, so fourth. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not guessing Wilt. I don't think that I'm pretty sure he retired like 34 or something. Like I don't think he played. But then he like this. I saw some crazy stories recently about how like he almost came to retirement like four or five times for different teams. There was one team wanted him to play when he was like 45. He was gonna play. It's so fucking crazy.
Wow. He could have probably still played, to be honest.
Another guy who again like he was solid up until that last Achilles injury, and like then he really fell off a cliff that last couple of years, last two seasons there. Like I want to say Kobe, but I like because we're talking like 24 points per game. Like I don't know if he was scoring at that high of a clip third because he retired once he was third. No, I'm gonna say Kobe. Give me Kobe.
Nope, not Kobe.
No, he missed it.
I don't
it?
Know
okay.
if he actually made it to 36. Did he? In the league?
I thought he was 37 or 38 when he retired.
Oh, maybe he did. But yeah, for in his age 36
season. But
the last
years were shit.
Yeah. He wasn't there.
Okay.
I didn't even see him on the list.
Hmm. Okay. And then.
One more guess.
I don't think MJ was scoring at that high of a rate at that age. So I'm trying to think of how old he would have been. He was like 21 when he came in, 84. So then we're taking 15 years to not. MJ could fit in there. He could fit that criteria. The other guy who I was kind of considering, because again, I'm trying to think of like all time. Like there's so many guys who kind of, you know, extend their careers. They go deep. Like even like a guy like a deep like pull, like a Rick Barry or something. Like I think he played a little longer and he always had crazy scoring numbers, really underrated. Tim Duncan would be another guy, or David Robinson, but I don't think they had the scoring numbers, especially at that. Tim Duncan, definitely not. David Robinson, maybe. Ugh, so tough. And fucking like Steph's gonna be there soon if it's not him. But I'm gonna go MJ. Unless he was like already that was during one of his retirements. He didn't play, but I'm gonna go MJ just to play it safe.
Again, I don't have the list pulled up. MJ's not right, and I didn't see his name closer up.
He must have been retired
near the top. Yeah, I think maybe. Yeah, he was out by 35, or he didn't quite meet the sort of limit of points per game. But he was scoring a lot there in Washington. But you said his name. Steph is on this list.
It is Steph. Okay, yeah.
He is one before Kareem, and then the highest ever after KD is the mailman, Karl Malone.
Him. I didn't even consider him.
Yeah, I know. We should probably disqualify him. But Tim Duncan was up there as well. I don't have the list pulled up because my computer's so old, I can't have another tab open at the same time. Alex, get that sorted out. It's Kevin Durant, and then Karl Malone, Steph, and Kareem. And then, Tim Duncan is in there.
Karl Malone is the one guy I never remember for any trivia, and he's always if it comes to scoring, he's always in there. And then I'm just like, I don't even care that I didn't remember him because fuck him.
I know he doesn't deserve it. Yeah, 100%. This one's NCAA related. Mm. As you said, we're gonna cast back to 2008. Of that all number one seed Final Four, obviously Kansas. Won that year. Mario Chalmers had a massive shot. And I think that was in the championship game or at least in the Final Four. Can you name me, other than Mario Chalmers, three other players on that roster that made the NBA? Oof. And the issue with the tab, yeah, on that Kansas team. To full transparency, I went through their roster. I only recognized three other names that went to the NBA. So if you say one and it's not on my list, I might be wrong, but I don't think so because they're so obscure. Like I would be impressed if they if you know who they are and they made the NBA and I don't realize it. But there are three guys for sure that made the NBA from that team.
Nah, I want to cheat on this one so bad because I cannot think of a single other guy other than Mario Chalmers.
Oh, I know they're pretty random. I will say
because I like give me a couple hints on this one because again, like these are like just like I didn't watch it live. It's a little harder. The only thing I want to know, like, were any of these guys like first round picks at least, or were they all like somewhat
I would have
late?
To look. Well, they're not like high, not lottery picks. I'm sure, unless I'm completely wrong.
And not long NBA careers.
Well. No, I wouldn't say so. One of them's a center. One of them is a wing, like a shooting wing, and then one of them is like a four.
For some reason, I don't know why, and I don't think that he went there, because again, it would have been like, I feel like people would have probably talked about this before. In my mind, like I'm just trying to picture guys who were wearing the Kansas jerseys, you know, and again, 2008, very baggy, bright vinyl. Robert Sacre wasn't on that team, was he?
No, I fucking wish. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. In my head, I'm just like, I could see him wearing the blue and the red.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we got a shooting wing. Wait a minute. Is the center like an African?
Nope.
No.
Actually,
okay.
I'll give you a massive hint. The center is white.
White.
Very obscure center. No, American. White American.
American? Oh, no. The Plumleys didn't go there. And that's way too early. Is it too early for Spencer Hawes?
Good guess, but no.
No? Okay.
But like that sort of career, I would say.
Yeah, okay. Josh McRoberts.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting close. I can feel I'm getting close. Okay, the shooting wing.
I'll give you one guess for the wing and one guess for the four, and then I'm going to tell you.
Okay, we'll call it there.
The wing. Shooting let me wing. See if I can get you some hints here. The team I know him as playing for, and again, I could even be wrong about this, but is the Warriors. I'm gonna double check for you, guess.
Would have been 2000s shooter for the Warriors. I mean, it's not the Splash Brothers. It's not Monte. Oh man, who could it be? Because I keep thinking all these international guys. I don't know why they're the ones that always flood to my head. And then it's like, man, play for the Warriors? Because I also wanted to guess like a Kyle Singler or something. A real white boy like that. I'm going to go Kyle Singler. I don't think he played for the Warriors, but I'm going Kyle Singler.
I swear, Kyle Singler not a Duke guy? I'm trying to remember where he actually went.
Probably.
But okay, before I tell them all, I'll try and give you a fucking hint for this four guy. But again, these guys are so obscure. I don't even remember
who
this guy
is. Like?
He's like a classic, like, physical four in college that never really translated because he's not that athletic in the NBA. Pretty sure he played for Memphis. I'm pretty sure that's where I remember him playing. I'll confirm that as well right now. That's all I can give you, Matt, because I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, all these college basketball fans are probably just
I know
screaming right now like this guy doesn't fucking know anything, which is true.
Before our time.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm right. He played, he played 1, 2, 3, 4 seasons in Memphis and then the rest of his career in Denver until 2018.
Until 2018. So 10 years, that's a pretty good career, 10 years in the league.
Yeah, he played 10 years and so did, not quite 10 years, 9 years for the wing.
So most of his career was in Denver, though.
Yes.
Okay,
bench guy. Oh, bench four. Bench
who
four.
Who the fuck?
This is great. No. Our listeners are loving this right now.
Yeah, this is really good podcasting. the thing is, I can picture a guy in my head right now, but it's not like it's very much like a Paul Millsap build.
That's exactly right. Come on, Matt. I'm rooting for you here.
For some reason, the name Randy Foy is going, but he's a two. It's not Randy Foy. But
Nuggets era. Same Nuggets era, I would say. Pretty sure.
Fuck. Oh, man. It's not like, again, I was thinking the Manimal Kenneth Faried, but he definitely was too athletic, and I think he was later. I don't know. He didn't go to Kansas, I don't think, either. I feel like I would know that. Oh, man. A physical four. The name is going to kill me the second you say it. I swear to God, I can picture in my head. It's something like Armstrong.
You're close. You're close.
Actually
really close. Ah! Actually, you know what, Matt? I might even give you half a point for that. Darrell Arthur.
Oh, that's...
Darrell Armstrong as well.
I was fucking there. I was there. I knew it. I could picture him in my head. Man. I would never have guessed that with all those hints, because I
got it. Oh my god, no.
Arthur, shout out, man.
I wouldn't have got any of these guys. Brandon Rush was the shooting wing.
Okay. Yeah.
Who did play for the Warriors and Indiana as well. He was drafted by Indiana. I forgot about a season with Utah and then a season with Minnesota before he retired. And then the legendary center, Cole Aldridge. Was the center.
Classic. Yeah. Okay. I got all the fucking shitty white centers from that era, but except for him.
They all melded together.
He played on it's funny because, all those guys, Arthur kind of stuck around the Nuggets again. I actually don't really remember him with the Grizzlies, but all those other guys, I swear to God, got traded a billion times. I'm pretty sure that last couple of years, Rush got traded multiple times in the offseason, but he didn't actually stay. I think that time he was on Utah, he got traded two or three times, but he never actually played.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he did play for Utah, but his last few years, Utah, Golden State, Minnesota. I think I have memories of him in an Indiana jersey as well back in he played there in 2011. He was okay. I'm trying to Chalmers was obviously the best NBA player of all of these guys, even him, I looked, his career high average was 10 points. I was did he not have a year where he at least scored fucking 12 per game?
Yeah, but he called LeBron a bitch one time and they got in a fight during a game. That was cool. Shout out Mario Chalmers. I'm also, pardon me if I am getting this guy wrong. I swear it's... No. I'm thinking Raymond Felton. Pardon me. I was about to slander Mario Chalmers. And have you seen what Raymond Felton looks like these days?
No, is he...
Respectfully, he looks like he's eating well, man. It actually would shock you.
Well, even when he was playing, he was, a little bit... husky. He was a dog. I just saw some Jeff Teague story, which are always great on some podcast, talking about him trash-talking Raymond Felton. And then Raymond Felton hit a game-winning buzzer beater... fucking
he was
mid-range
good.
Shot, which I didn't realize he had ever hit, but shout out Raymond Felton, he was fun on the Knicks there, other places as well.
Paul Prigioni, I'm pretty sure they're past Rouse. Good trivia, Jordan. Obviously, I wasn't able to perform. I'm sorry, everybody.
Hold on, Matt. I've got one more. What the hell, man?
Oh, I thought that was the fourth.
No, that was three.
Oh, that was why I was really dragging that shit out.
No, okay, we'll be quick with this one. You're right.
All right, finish strong.
Okay. I'm not going to say why this question's in here, but I guess it's pretty obvious. But can you give me the highest points per game for a player in New York Knicks history? And you're going to guess the top five. So I'm going to give you exactly five guesses. No bonuses.
Cool.
Go ahead.
Okay. Top 5 points per game seasons.
Yeah. Not seasons. I don't think. Again, I don't have the tab. Career. But career for the Knicks. Okay. So as a Knick, points per game.
I think Brunson's in there already. He has to be.
Brunson is tied for number one, if you can believe it. Yeah, as a Knicks points per game scorer.
Let me go Carmelo. He's got to be up there.
Number two. Yep.
Give me Ewing. Patty
number
Ewing.
Three.
Yep. We're knocking these out right now. Not even going to think. Give me...
So remember Brunson is tied for one, so you got to guess the number one... PPG score in Knicks history.
This might be the guy. Is it Frazier?
Nope. It's actually none of those really
in there.
Apparently, none of those really old guys are not on here. We can take it up with StatMuse if we need to double check the stats here. But apparently not. Bernard King was the number one guy.
Really? Okay. Good for Bernard King.
Because he scored the shootout of it in the 80s.
Him and Frazier. And then there was one more, right? Who's the...
Yeah, I'll let you guess. Five.
Four and five.
Which
five?
I'm excited for you to guess who this is, number five. It's pretty funny. But that might have given it away.
Funny. Oh, okay. Jeremy Lin.
I wish. That would have been actually less funny. Julius fucking Randle, apparently.
Wow, no way.
Is at 22.6. Because this is also career.
Amari Stoudemire didn't get in there?
Well, it's for career, though, like for the amount of, you know, it's over the whole amount of time. So, like, you know, Ewing's stats would have been sort of brought down over his sort of older years with the Knicks, I'm assuming. And that's why Bernard King are so high on Brunson as well, because they just, you know, for those years that Bernard King was playing, he was scoring high like peaks. 30 points per game. And so,
Carmelo was like four or five seasons, and he was just going crazy scoring, like
a
couple
so 60 think,
point games.
So, yeah, I think like Frazier maybe
Stoudemire's not in there.
No, I didn't see him on the. I should
because he's only played like he played like two or three seasons with the Knicks, and like the one year he was leading the front running for like the MVP, and then he got injured. But
and
he was
averaging
like 24 a game or 25 a game.
There was also, I swear, there was also like a minimum amount of games played as well. So maybe Amari didn't clear that.
Yeah, he might not qualify
because he ultimately didn't even play that much for the Knicks, but just because of injuries. But yeah, you're right. When he was there, it's going crazy. But yeah, according to StatMuse, Bernard King and Jalen Brunson tied 26.5 points per game as Knicks. Then Melo, Ewing, and Julius Randle. Julius Big City Randle, baby.
Yeah, I would never have guessed Randle, but shout out to the former Big Dog of the Year.
Yes.
Definitely. I feel like I came back on my own there. I felt good about hammering those three out right back to back to back. That was good. I mean, those were very kind of easy picks, to be honest. But
true.
If you guys thought they were too easy and you can't believe I got any right and that I might be mentally stunted, let us know at Big Dog Ball Talk, Instagram, TikTok, X, Facebook for all you old heads out there. We want to hear from you guys. Help us help you. Help me help you.
Help me.
We'll be back on Friday. Maybe it'll be Friday. Maybe it'll be Saturday morning. I don't know. We'll see. Stay on your toes. If you guys give us a couple falls, you'll be able to see when our recording schedule is. So give us a follow. And we
always
you guys.
Post that.
Yes, we always do.
We're always okay.
Of the time.
We're the most active.
We'll talk to you guys. Yes.
Socially of any podcast out there, just for the record.
Jordan and I love social media. It's our favorite thing, our favorite pastime. We're always doing it. If scrolling TikTok counts. But this has been Big Double Talk. My dad, Jordan Flegel. And until next time, our friends. As my good friend Jordan always says.
Yeah, wish me luck at the dentist. I am going to be scared. I might cry a little bit. You know, see if someone can come with me, like my mommy, to come to the room with me. But I hope I get a nice, I hope I get a sucker at the end or a toothbrush or a sticker or something.
Yeah, I always like going in the treasure chest. I like digging around after I get an appointment done. I used to always rifle through. You don't get any fucking sticky hands in here? What do my parents pay you for?